Hello and welcome to the latest health news that you will not see on the mainstream media, and that's what I'm here to do here today. Right, so breast implant surgery goes wrong, teen girl gets severe brain damage. Why is it that we are trying to become machines? Why is it that we're trying to become these very things that we created? It's like we're starting to merge into this type of being that we don't really know who we are. Maybe that's part of the reason why we have so much disease, is this dis-ease, this discomfort from who we are. So toxic jobs, bosses convicted, and suicides of dozens of workers. Creating a corporate culture is so toxic that 35 of their employees were driven to suicide in the mid-2000s. So I know this is a random article, but it just shows you the impact of primary food. The food that's off your plate, the food that is impacting your life, because if you're in a bad relationship, if you're in a bad spirituality, if you're bad at exercise, any of those things, it could impact your health more than food. In fact, it gets in the way of a lot of your nutrition goals. So if I'm working with a client, for example, we gotta address those things first, because those things are the things in your way of progressing, in the way of you making change that you want to make in this world. So do address that first. If you need help, definitely get that. And especially if you're driven to some extreme conditions like this, that's not good, you know, not good at all. But it shows you that is a big impact on your health. Are you kidding me? Just looking at that, it's a very extreme condition. So Australia spends $9 million to fight 5G opposition, calls health concerns fake news, despite admitting some 5G will be absorbed by the body. It says opposition in Kalamata, Greece, Laois County, Ireland, and Devonshire, UK, stopped installation in their communities. By the way, I probably said each one of those wrong. Kalamata sounds like an olive. But it says no scientific evidence that exposure is safe. So, you know, despite that, they're calling this, oh, well, it's fake news. But there's literally no evidence that shows that it's safe. If anything, we see evidence that it's not safe. And you can see there's a whole bunch of videos here to watch as well. It says 5G opposition lawsuits and warnings are worldwide and include way more than exposure risks. And they have a whole bunch of resources as well on this website. So please check that out if you're interested. I do have a video about 5G. If you're also interested, please check that out. Another report on how classroom technology isn't helping kids, even though educators still endorse it. So we have cell phone radiation and Wi-Fi from devices are increasing as well. Excessive screen use, addiction, and reliance are increasing too in the classroom and out. Again, dependence, slavery to these such devices. MIT Technology Review says that high-tech curriculums are, for the most part, not helping kids. And why are they, you know, promoting this stuff when it's not actually helping them? In fact, it's causing health issues. But, oh, you know, we're not going to look at the health, right? We're going to look at, well, if they're being educated. But, you know, that also should go hand in hand, you know, happiness, health, education. But is it coming naturally, or is it being force-fed to them? Is there agendas that are being given to them? Are they not allowing to question and create their own science like we are to do that for creating our own health in this world? So it says in Gallup, 96% fully or somewhat support the increased use of digital learning tools in their school. This is administrators and principals, with almost as much support coming from teachers with 85%. So generally, there's a consensus that most people in these schools want all this technology around them, you know, probably because, oh, they don't have to deal with the kids, you know, they're on the technology. Technology's got them, you know, it's got them distracted, they're quiet, you don't have to worry about them. But is it actually helping them? Or would they rather have that human interaction? Would they rather have their parents, you know, there with them, actually, right? And this whole public school system is something of a question within itself. So it says the OECD study found that technology is of little help in bridging the skills divide between advantaged and disadvantaged students. Okay, and it says college students who use laptops or digital devices in the classrooms did worse on exams. Eighth graders who took Algebra 1 online did much worse than those who took the course in person. So just not looking very good statistics-wise if we're adding more technology to classroom. And again, looking at the health situation is sometimes a separate subject to people, but it's something that could be mentioned. And could you mention it? Are you part of a school? Do you know somebody who is? Is your kid in a school? Could you, as a responsible parent, do that? I mean, Right, somebody's got to create the conversation. Somebody's got to speak up. Since 1980s, U.S. government agency had paid over $4 billion for vaccine-related injuries and death. Still want a flu shot? This isn't reported on the media, and it talks about how there's many issues with vaccine-related injuries and deaths. But just that within itself, the fact that there's injuries and deaths from vaccines, does that not concern people? Like that is something that's really big. And when we talk about vaccines, like, oh, we should do this, we should do that, again, telling people what to do with their own bodies, are we going to mention that there has been lawsuits? Are we going to mention all the different sides, different perspectives? So then we have so air pollution strongly linked to depression and suicide in new global study. Says in quote, "We already know that air pollution is bad for people's health, with numerous physical health risks ranging from heart and lung disease to stroke and a higher risk of dementia." And it says here we are showing that air pollution could be causing substantial harm to our mental health as well, making the case for cleaning up the air we breathe even more urgent. Now I'm all for that, like having that and maybe building more trees, growing more trees, and getting more plants in our work environments and so forth. If you're looking at this, what are you looking at? You're looking at a ton of people. You're not looking at soil bacteria. You're not looking at the bacteria that actually helps you have less allergies, less immune problems. So we see that in studies as well. So just take a look at the city environment. It's so crowded. Everyone's rushing to go places. Is their body at a disease, right? Is it always rushing to do something? Is it doesn't feel free because there's so much restricting it, so much like close together, and they're always trying to find their way to escape the crowds and find their way around town and stuff like that. Just looking at the general city environment can actually give us a picture of this world that we live in as more people go to the cities to find jobs, as more people go to the cities because, well, the countrysides are becoming cities now that the world is more populated, but certain parts of the world are becoming more populated, like in eastern Pennsylvania, for example, where I'm about. So, it doesn't sound very good when the country becomes very city-like, because now, we see that from New Yorkers after 9/11, for example. When it says we know the finest particulates from dirty air can reach the brain via both the bloodstream and the nose, and air pollution has been implicated in increased neural inflammation. So seeing all this that happens in the city doesn't sound so good. All right, major junk food company collapses. Something important to just mention is a company called GMA, and they're shutting down. They're rebranding with a replete new name, new agenda, goals, and personnel. But the fact that they have to rush to new conclusions and have to cave to certain demands and stuff means that the people are in control, and they do. They vote with their dollar. If you want more organics in your superstore, you're going to get more organics. You're going to see more organics, and that's what's happened over the past couple of years. It's people have grown in awareness of the foods they eat, so now there's more of those type of foods in the supermarket. So you may be questioning, oh, well, what is this? Why is it that everything exists now? You think of charcoal shampoo would exist, even though there's not much connection between charcoal and some of this stuff. But they'll make anything now, and whatever. It's cool that we have all these options now for people, and it's because people are asking for it. Then we have Instagram bans influencers from promoting vapings and guns. So vaping and guns. Those two things are being banned on Instagram. So it says banning branded content that promotes goods such as vaping and tobacco products and weapons. So that is a form of censorship. He said, while teen vaping is definitely an issue that should be taken seriously, there's a lot of public hysteria, and we tend to overcorrect in situations like this. He said that the platform's changing guidelines can pose a challenge for brands and content creators. Exactly. If it's a middle-aged person and it's vape-specific and they have an older audience, then it's a different story. So, what are your views on that? I mean, there has always been hysteria about young people getting their hands on vapes, but now these companies are saying, oh, well, you must be a certain age to purchase these vapes. And then looking at guns, why is it that, these tech companies do it? Now, of course, they're independent companies. They can do whatever they want, but it doesn't mean, again, that it should be done. And if people speak out about it, if people make up the most of these platforms, will people talk about what they want done on these platforms instead of just having these platforms freely censor content that they themselves don't want to see. You know, is it about the people or is it about the companies? Is it about finding ourselves and what we want, or is it about what these companies want us to look at and believe? You know, because looking at guns, oh well, gun violence and this and assault weapons, but is there really such thing as an assault weapon? Is there really such thing as gun violence? Could we look at each one of these subjects and could we take such strong positions, or do we have everyone be free and express themselves, and as long as they're not going to certain extents? But again, I get they're their own platform, they can do whatever they want, but is it something that you want to see? Speak up, you know what I mean? Juul's nicotine formula, just like Marlboro's, study shows. So study finds that Juul's e-cigarettes to be just as addictive as traditional cigarettes, but without the bad smell. So it's funny to me because it says here the profile of the Altria Group. Well, guess what? Altria actually owns both Juul and Marlboro. They're the parent company to both of these. Not parent company, but I believe they own stocks and they own like a big portion of both these companies. I show this actually in my documentary. It says, "Watch this before you vape." That documentary. Please check it out on my channel if you're interested or you know somebody who vapes. It's all factual based. It's something you could look at in parts. There's like parts about the ingredients. There's parts about what the founders say, what the founders think is about these vapes. Then you see here that it says here that a study released last month by researchers at Pennsylvania State University found that Juul delivered more nicotine to the bloodstream and at a faster rate than earlier e-cigarettes, and that its nicotine boost was similar to that of a cigarette, which is why it was so popular among past cigarette smokers. Since Juul has essentially duplicated the world's most popular cigarettes, which means this should be attractive to cigarette users. Is this just a power grab by Marlboro and Altria and these same companies that all own each other? Because that to me is kind of what it seems like it is, especially when they kick out the old former leaders of Juul, you know, which is the number one vaping company that people go under, and they just replace them by all these Altria-owned people. And then they cut out their staff by like 500 people, and they recruit new people. Like that's what happened, and I show this in the documentary as well. It says this is probably also a good way to get the curious novice who has never smoked. So that was what somebody said, and that's actually true. So with having that much nicotine in it, being that addictive to cigarettes, it could actually also attract the people who have never smoked before. So even though they're trying to attract people who basically have smoked in the past, they're getting people who haven't smoked before. So you know, how do you fix that? I mean, can you really? But is it worth banning on Instagram? You know, like it's a whole different discussion. So it says zero deaths from vitamins. 36th annual report from American Association of Poison Control Centers. FDA approved drugs 160 thousand and FDA unapproved supplements zero, and that's the deaths in 1 year. So 100,000 versus zero. Hard to decide which one's you know, something we have to look at. So the 36th annual report from the American Association of Poison Control Centers show that zero deaths are from any vitamin. But wait, there says the AAPCC report shows that no deaths from any dietary mineral supplement. There were no fatalities from amino acids, creatine, blue-green algae, glucosamine, chondroitin. There has been no deaths from herbs. That means no deaths at all from glucosa, echinacea, and all these other ones. It says there were no deaths from any homeopathic remedy. None, right? And of course, there may be like people lacing it with heavy metals and other stuff because you don't know what your food is coming from, and you're getting from sketchy sources, and it's coming from China where there's a whole bunch of industrial plants or whatever. Whatever, it's always you taking health into your own hands, making sure that you know what exactly it is that you're consuming, and then making sure that you're not taking a drug that potentially can cause you to die or cause other symptoms, other problems that may require other drugs according to your physician, right? But can we treat things more naturally? Can we introduce supplements to assist? Can we introduce herbs to assist? Can we assist your body's natural blueprint to heal itself? So that's just another report showing that, yeah, there still is no deaths from, you know, natural plant-based herbs and vitamins. So study water fluoridation linked to lower IQ in children. So it says here a 2020 study just released in Environmental International looked at infants who ingested fluoridated tap water and measured their intelligence quotient. The scientists found an increase of 0.5 milligrams per liter in water fluoridation corresponded to a 9.3 and 6.2 decrease in performance IQ among the formula-fed and breastfed children. They lost IQ points when the water was fluoridated. Says the authors concluded the study by stating exposure to increasing levels of fluoride in tap water was associated with diminished nonverbal intellectual abilities. The effect was more pronounced among formula-fed children. It says formula-fed children will receive more fluoride as compared to breastfed children. And ensuring that you have adequate iodine can help prevent fluoride problems. Iodine is a competitive inhibitor of fluoride. So iodine is an essential element for the human body. We cannot live without it. So make sure we're getting enough iodine. That's why they had to add it to the salt, right? Because people were not getting enough iodine. But guess what? People still don't have enough iodine. And that salt is very toxic. It's white. It's pure white. It's refined. It's not the mineral salt that actually is supposed to be full of different colors. Yeah, there's different color salts. There's pink salt. There's brown salt. There's white salt. Well, you know, more white salt would be like a sea salt, right? And then there would be a yellow salt. All sorts of different colors, right? That is the healthier salt. But that white, pure, refined salt where they process it, to strip it of all the minerals and so forth, that is not going to be good for you. In fact, that's the very salt that we see raises blood pressure, raises cholesterol and so forth. So make sure that we're getting iodine, an essential mineral, which you find also in like pink salt, for example, which has 84 other minerals in it as well. So you can do that pink Himalayan salt to get not only iodine, but a whole bunch of other minerals as well. And then looking at the breastfed children, of course, breastfed children are going to do better than formula fed. We see breastfeeding gives you everything the baby needs, everything. There's nothing better in the world than that. And so stay tuned for more on this channel. We're going to talk about how Google censors, shadow bans, and blacklists alternative health news. That's going to be a shocking article I have to discuss with you guys because we are doing a health news episode right now. So thank you very much for watching. I appreciate everybody staying tuned for this and listening. Please stay tuned for that. It is not good looking for our future as we see how that is racking up with people who are like-minded like me, who may be saying, oh, well, I don't want to heal with drugs and I want to heal naturally and I just want to promote what nature has given me. Well, exactly. But why can't we speak about that on the internet? Well, let's see Google's perspective about that. Stay tuned for that. Thank you very much for watching.